Week for the Bible News Prophecy Program with Dr. Bob Teal, bringing you news and analysis of world events in light of Bible prophecy. Dr. Teal, it seems that just about everyone that claims Christianity has heard about the abomination of desolation. And since the abomination of desolation is mentioned in the Old Testament, of course, those of the Jewish faith are also familiar with the abomination. Discuss for us this abomination of desolation for a clearer understanding of Bible prophecy.
I'd love to. Yesterday, the Temple Institute mentioned in its newsletter that in this week in history, Antiochus Epiphanes, one of Alexander the Great's three generals, came to Jerusalem and performed what became known as the abomination back in 168 BC. Now, Jesus prophesied something involving an abomination would happen later. You got your Bibles. I'm going to read from Book of Matthew, Matthew 24, starting in verse 15. Jesus said, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand, and let those from Judea flee in the mountains." Cut down to verse 20. "Pray that your flight may not be in the winter and the Sabbath, for then there will be a great tribulation, as such has never been since the beginning of this world until this time, no one ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved alive, but for the sake of the elect, these days will be shortened." Now, has that happened yet? No. Now, last year, in September, somebody sent me an email he received from Joseph F. Dumond, who was a Sabbatarian and seemed like he was messianic. Anyway, he asserted the abomination it makes desolate will be set up September 22, 2023. So 1,290 days of Daniel 12 already started counting down. We're here now and no one is prepared, end quote.
Well, if he was right, wouldn't the abomination of desolation be set up somewhere right now?
Yes, but he was not right, and I denounced him for being wrong last year. Now, Jesus referred to Daniel. So let's go to chapter 9, cutting into verse 26. We read, "The people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it will be with a flood. Till the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he, that's this prince, shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week, he'll bring an end to the sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate." Now, this covenant of Daniel 9:27 has not yet been confirmed by a prince yet. Well, a prince would be somebody who's not the top leader of, let's say, the EU or something. And we know that the abomination is not going to be there until after the deal is broken. Now, this is a 1 week deal, which prophetically means 7 years. So the middle of it would be 3.5 years before the abomination would be set up. Now, there's also some signs that we're supposed to see before this happens. In Daniel chapter 11, I'm going to be reading this from the NIV, starting in verse 29. We see some things that occur before this abomination is set up. It says, "At the appointed time, he," this is this prince who's now a king, "shall invade the south again, but it's going to be different than before. Ships from western coastlands are going to oppose him. He's going to turn back and vent his fury against the Holy Covenant, Christians. He will return and show favor to those who forsake the Holy Covenant," backsliders, you want to call that, apostates. "And his armed forces will rise up, desecrate, and abolish the temple sacrifices. And they will set up the abomination that causes desolation. With flattery, he will corrupt those who have violated the covenant, but the people who know their God will firmly resist him." Now, those verses have not happened yet. And until the first couple of verses there happen, the covenant deal will not be broken, nor will the abomination of desolation be set up.
But going back to Mr. Dumond's reference to 1290 days, is it not possible that they could have possibly come and gone already?
No, we need to make it clear that the 1290 days have not started. Let's look at a passage in Daniel that mentions the abomination and 1290 days and 1335 days. Daniel 12, starting in verse 11, we read, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the end of 1335 days." Notice there's a tie-in with the removal of the daily sacrifice, then the abomination. Well, daily sacrifices had not yet begun, so they haven't been taken away yet. Therefore, those who believe the Bible, what it really says, can be assured that the 1290 days has not already begun. Anyway, Joseph Dumond is wrong about that and other matters. Furthermore, this week, Restored Church of God's David Pack falsely pointed to the 1335 days starting this week, and that's not the case either. Now, in Luke 21, verse 20, Jesus said, "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near."
Well, in light of current world events, isn't it possible that we might see Jerusalem surrounded by armies very soon now?
We could see something like that. But as far as the prophesied portion, the part that's got to do with the abomination of desolation, that doesn't happen until 3.5 years after the covenant of Daniel 9:27 is confirmed, and that has not yet happened.
Is the holy place Jesus spoke of a rebuilt Jewish temple?
No. People need to understand that the Jews simply cannot make any place holy. Now, I want to read something from the old pastor general of the old Worldwide Church of God, the late Herbert Everett Armstrong. He taught, "The temple Christ will return to." Everybody's wondering, what temple is Christ returning to, coming to? Is this some Jewish one? No. So I'll tell you the company. He's coming to you, brethren. You're that temple. And then he goes into the book of Malachi, chapter 4, verse 5, and he reads, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Now, here again, just before the day of the Lord, when the gospel of the kingdom is to be preached to the world, then he says, "Well, John the Baptist came in the power and spirit of Elijah." That prophecy meant and referred to John the Baptist's coming, but that was only the first coming. The prophecy, someone to prepare the way for the second coming. The first was physical. The physical Jesus coming to the physical temple to a physical people. Someone will prepare the way for the second coming is preparing the way for the spiritual Christ to come to the spiritual temple for the marriage of the Lamb of Christ with the church, and the church is that temple. He also said, "Each individual is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come in each one of us, and our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit. But on the other hand, we speak collectively as a church. The whole church of many members becomes a temple to which Christ is going to come in his second coming. He's not coming to a single body, but to the collective temple." Anyway, getting back to what I was saying, the Jews cannot make a place holy. Hence, the holy place is not a building the Jews are about to build in the 21st century.
Yes, but wasn't the Holy of Holies in the Jewish temple considered to be holy?
Yes, but that was destroyed, and it was God's presence who made the old Jewish temples holy. It takes God's presence to make anything holy in the Christian era. The holy place that Jesus spoke of would have to have a Christian connection. Jesus said, Matthew 18, verse 20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them." It takes the presence of the resurrected Christ to make a place holy. Therefore, the holy place Jesus referred to in Matthew 24:15 would seem to be a place where Christians will have gathered together, two or more anyway. This could be someplace in the 21st century, or perhaps the first Church of God building in Jerusalem, which was built in the late first century. Regarding that building, anciently it was called the holy place or a church. Now, the historian Eusebius, in the 4th century, he wrote about this building. And he quotes Acts 1:12. "Then they returned from the mount called the Mount of Olives, which is opposite Jerusalem." Then he writes, "Mount of Olives is literally opposite Jerusalem and to the east of it, but also the holy church of God, and upon the mount upon which it is founded." So he's referring to this building that was built. Now, although the Greco-Romans had built their type of church around it, there are some few of the original bricks that are called ashlars that continue to be part of it. And you can see some of the original bricks by looking at the cover of our songbook. These were some of the original bricks. Interestingly, the first version of our Bible News Prophecy magazine actually showed that as well. It's also, here's a photo that I took on the back cover of our Continuing History of the Church of God book. These are, again, some of those ashlars or bricks that were part of the original building. Now, these ashlars or bricks look to have come from the second temple. And they're also the foundation of the what is sometimes called the Cenacle or the Church of God on Jerusalem's Western Hill. But what happened was after the rebellions by the Jews against the Romans, Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD by the Roman general Titus. Before this happened, many Christians fled to Pella before the attack, but many of them came back later to their residence in Mount Zion and built this building. But in year 333 AD, this building was observed by somebody called the Bruto Pilgrim, and it was called the Holy Place by the Roman Catholic priest and scholar Bellarmine of Bagatti.
Well, for the sake of clarity, Dr. Teal, are you suggesting the holy place Jesus referred to in Matthew 24:15 may be the small building made from the foundation stones of the 70 AD era temple because God's presence could have made those stones holy?
That's possible. Now, that holy place had been a meeting place for Christians. And the Greco-Romans, however, eventually took it over and put a shrine on there, putting their relics. Now, Theodosius in the 6th century called it Holy Zion, which is the mother of all churches. Now, there's another Catholic scholar who wrote about it, Bartel Pixner, and I want to read some of what he said, because we would call it, built by Church of God Christians. He calls them Judeo-Christians.
Okay.
He wrote, Judeo-Christians probably built their church, at that time called a synagogue, somewhere in the decade after 73 AD. Its construction could have used the stones from the ruins of the temple itself with the intention of transferring some elements of the Holy Temple to a site becoming a new Mount Zion. If so, the event may have been, in fact, referred to in one of the apocryphal Odes of Solomon, composed around 100 AD by another Judeo-Christian group. Was this passage an effort to say that the Judeo-Christians went to transfer some of the holiness of the destroyed temple to their place of worship by constructing it with stones from that temple? This Western Hill, Jerusalem, was referred to by Christians as Mount Zion. Very few places in Jerusalem can point to such an enduring tradition as Zion's claim to be the seat of the primitive church. No other place has such a serious claim. Anyway, I do think the original bricks came from the old Jewish temple. I personally examined some of them back in October 2013. And this seems to be the closest thing to a physical church building where early Christians attended for services. And if that or something is used in the 21st century, this could possibly be the holy place Jesus spoke about.
Let's shift a little bit now, Dr. Teal. And what about the timing of the abomination?
Well, the late pastor general of the old Worldwide Church of God talked about that. And basically, he said, first we have to see the fulfillment of Matthew 24:14, where the gospel of the kingdom of the world be preached to the world as a witness. Then we'll see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, and what Jesus said, Matthew 24:15. Well, anyway, until Matthew 24:14 is fulfilled to God's satisfaction, the end is not coming, and the abomination that Jesus said Daniel referred to will not be set up.
Do you have any idea how Matthew 24:14 is going to be fulfilled to God's satisfaction?
Yes, we in the Continuing Church of God are working on it and doing preparations for it and encourage everybody to support us in doing so.
Then should we keep our eyes on the fulfillment of Matthew 24:14, or should we be looking for something else?
Well, it's something that everybody should support. But as far as for the countdown, we should be looking for the deal to be confirmed in Daniel 9:27. Anyway, we need to rely on the Word of God and His true servants and not on improper calculations or arguments in terms of this abomination that don't fully align with Scripture.
Thank you, Dr. Teal. For more interviews with Dr. Teal, in addition to written as well as audio articles, visit our website at BibleNewsProphecy.net. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program.